Chapter 28, Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. Text 26. Baksha,
baksha,
the chest.
The chest.
Adivasam,
adivasam,
the abode.
The abode.
Rishabhasya,
rishabhasya,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mahabhute,
Mahabhute,
of Mahalakshmi.
Of Mahalakshmi.
Humsam,
humsam,
of persons.
Of persons.
Mana,
mana,
to the mind.
To the mind.
Nayana,
nayana,
to the eyes.
To the eyes.
Nivrittam,
nivrittam,
transcendental pleasure.
Adhadanam,
adhadanam, bestowing.
Bestowing.
Kantam,
kantam,
the neck.
Cha,
cha, also.
Also.
Kaustubha mane,
Kaustubha mane,
of the Kaustubha gem.
Of the Kaustubha gem.
Adibhushanartham,
adibhushanartham,
which enhances the beauty.
Which
enhances
the beauty.
Kuryat,
kuryat,
he should meditate on.
He should meditate on.
Manasi,
manasi,
in the mind.
In the mind.
Akila loka,
akila loka,
by the entire universe.
By the entire universe.
Namaskritasya,
namaskritasya,
who is adored.
Who is adored.
Translation. The yogi should then meditate on the chest of the Supreme Personality Godhead, the abode of Goddess Mahalakshmi. The Lord's chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind. Full satisfaction for the eyes. The yogi should then imprint on his mind the neck of the Personality of Godhead, who is adored by the entire universe. The neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaustubha gem, which hangs on his chest. Purport. In the Upanishads, it is said that the various energies of the Lord are working to create, destroy, and maintain. These inconceivable varieties of energy are stored in the bosom of the Lord. As people generally say, God is all-powerful. That prowess is represented by Mahalakshmi, the reservoir of all energies, who is situated on the bosom of the transcendental form of the Lord. The yogi who can meditate perfectly on that spot, on the transcendental form of the Lord, can derive many material powers, which comprise the eight perfections of the yoga system. It is stated herein that the beauty of the neck of the Lord enhances the beauty of the Kaustubha gem, rather than vice versa. The gem itself becomes more beautiful because it is situated on the neck of the Lord. A yogi is therefore recommended to meditate upon the Lord's neck. The Lord's transcendental form can either be meditated upon in the mind or placed in a temple in the form of a statue and decorated in such a way that everyone can contemplate it. Temple worship, therefore, is meant for persons who are not so advanced that they can meditate upon the form of the Lord. There is no difference between constantly visiting the temple and directly seeing the transcendental form of the Lord. They are of equal value. The advantageous position of the yogi is that he can sit anywhere in a solitary place and meditate upon the form of the Lord. A less advanced person, however, has to go to the temple. And as long as he does not go to the temple, he is unable to see the form of the Lord. Either by hearing, seeing, or meditating, the objective is the transcendental form of the Lord. There is no question of voidness or impersonalism. The Lord can bestow the blessings of transcendental pleasure upon either the visitor of the temple, the meditator yogi, or one who hears about the Lord's transcendental form from scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. There are nine processes for executing devotional service, of which smarana, or meditation, is one. Yogis take advantage of the process of smarana, whereas bhakti yogis take special advantage of the process of hearing and chanting. ओम ज्ञानचिमनंदस्य
ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय
चक्षुर्मिलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. The verses in this chapter are describing how the yogi should meditate upon the super soul, the Lord in the heart. Lord Chaitanya has given us something more beautiful than even the super soul, the Lord in the heart. That is Govinda, Adi Purushan, Tamaham Bhajami. We're worshipping Govinda, who is the source of the super soul. The Lord in His original form, as we discussed yesterday, has beauty and sweetness that He does not share with even Lord Narayan or the other incarnations. Therefore, the instructions that you're hearing in these verses about meditating upon the Lord in the heart, they even more apply to meditating on the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. We hear that the Lord's chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and full satisfaction for the eyes. Everyone's mind wants pleasure. When your mind sees no opportunity for any kind of contentment in this world, then practically you commit suicide. That's why people do that. Their mind sees no opportunity, no hope for pleasure. The mind, as you know, is a sense. Manasasthan vyani prakriti sthani karjati. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that conditioned life means you're struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. So the mind feels things. You should become acquainted with that reality, how your mind is a feeling, sensory instrument. With your mind, you think, feel, and will. You think about various sense objects. You feel them in your mind. You all have that experience, contemplating various things and feeling those things in your mind, and then willing. Yes. Let's get into it. So the mind is a sense organ, a subtle sense organ. And you can misuse it in material life or use it perfectly in spiritual life. Here, Lord Kapila is explaining that the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind is to look at the chest of the Lord. These instructions are meant to inspire you for meditating on the deity. You'll find full satisfaction for your senses by meditating on the deity. We also hear that you'll get full satisfaction for the eyes. So the mind likes to feel things, and the eyes want to see beautiful things. In other words, you're also feeling with your eyes. You're feeling with your nose. You're feeling with your ears. Those senses want stimulations. The mind wants to feel good. That's why mind-altering drugs are so popular, because people want their mind to feel good. One young devotee in the UK was telling me how much young people spend on a weekend of clubbing with ecstasy just so their mind will feel good. He was telling me, first of all, the average young person in London doesn't have a car because it's so expensive driving a car in London and the traffic is so bad. So in order to get to the club and back to your home, you'd spend £10 minimum. roughly 30 New Zealand dollars. And then you have to pay into the club, probably another 10 pounds. That's another 30 New Zealand dollars. So you're up to about $60. And then you have to pay for your ecstasy, which is, I forgot all the sacred details, but 5 pounds a hit. Yeah, 5 pounds a hit. And you need about how many hits for all the whole night? 4 or 5? You told me 4 or 5. So, let's say that's like, we'll say 4. That's 20 pounds. So that's another 60 New Zealand dollars. You're already up to 120 bucks. For just one night. And then, you've got to drink a lot of water. I've been told that's the nature of the ecstasy experience. That you drink lots and lots of water. So what do they do in the clubs? They charge you for a bottle of water like 10 times the price you pay at a store. Because they know everyone's going to be buying water. No one buys drinks at these clubs. They told me no one buys drinks. The club just has a bar there just so things look legal. Otherwise, you know, they don't serve liquor. The police, not, you know, no. Of course, the police know anyway, but they know this is just a drug den. And also, they're required by law. The clubs are required by law to have, you know, drinking water, taps, you know. So, how do they get around that? They used to try not to have any drinking taps. You know, so people would buy the water at 10 times the price that you get in the store. But they have to have drinking taps. So they run hot water through the drinking taps. So that way you have to purchase the bottle of water at 10 times the price. So practically speaking, you know, yeah. How much do you have to spend on water for a night? So by the time you sounds like a moderate user there. You probably double it. I'd say 10 pounds. So by the time you're finished for the night, that's a minimum of 200 New Zealand dollars. You know, 65, 70 pounds. Just so your mind will feel good. Now this is what the average young person does. So I asked him, well, like, you know, what about, you know, boy meets girl, all that kind of thing, you know? He said, no, the ecstasy takes you beyond all that. The boy meets girl stuff, that goes on the weekdays. You can do that anytime. That, you know, that rains out of the sky like water, you know, big deal. Because I explained, you know, during our youth, the whole purpose of going to a party was the boy meets girl thing, you know? A boy and a girl, they dance together, and, you know. So, it's, everyone wants their mind to feel good. So they take the ecstasy and just, you know, dance solitary amidst a group of people. And then, by the time 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning comes, you know, they go home and crash. So, the whole purpose is that your mind wants to feel good. No one can live with a tortured mind. No one can live with a mind full of anxiety. You know what that's like. You hate it. It's a horrible feeling. Your mind is full of anxiety. And then your eyes want to look at beautiful forms. You know how when you look at the form of the opposite sex, your eyes check out the whole body? That you should do for the deity. When you come to the temple, you can just let your eyes rove over the deity's body. And that is the perfection of that propensity to check out somebody's rupa, someone's form. You should try it. You come to the temple and just let your eyes wander all over the body of the Lord. And your eyes will be fully satisfied. You start with the feet, as we discussed yesterday, and raise your vision to the lotus face. Just like when reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you start with the first canto, the feet of the Lord, and then gradually get to the 10th canto, the smiling face of the Lord. In this way, your senses are satisfied. Now, We also heard in the purport Srila Prabhupada explaining that there's no difference between the yogis meditating on the Lord in the heart and the devotee coming to the temple to see the deity. The yogi has the advantage of being able to meditate on the Lord in the heart anywhere, any place, just by sitting down and meditating. Whereas the temple worshipper has to come to the temple to see the Lord. The whole point is to see the Lord. You can do that by meditation. You can do that by seeing the deity. And you can also do that by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Hearing and chanting about the Lord gives you the association of the Lord. A devotee has to do this daily practice of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then your senses will be satisfied. There's no difference between the deity form of the Lord and the Lord in Vaikuntha. Often devotees make the mistake of they stop coming to see the deity. Which means automatically they become on the platform of duality. That there's a difference between the deity and the Lord in Vaikuntha. If I say to you, would you like to have a direct vision of the Lord in Vaikuntha? Oh yes, yes, I want to see God. If I say, come see the deity in the temple. Been there, done that. By looking at the deity in the temple, you develop thirst for Krishna. Your eyes become greedy. And that is something every devotee should experience. Greedy eyes because of looking at Krishna. You should feel the thirst in your eyes increase by staring at the form of the Lord. Then your mind becomes satisfied. You know how to look at someone like you're going to devour that person with your eyes. That feeling is meant for the deity of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya would enter the temple at Jagannath Puri, as soon as he would see Lord Jagannath, sometimes he would just faint in ecstasy. He did not see wood. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshat Vrajendra Nanda. He directly saw the son of Maharaj Nanda. In this way, Lord Chaitanya himself is demonstrating the potency of seeing the deity. When Lord Chaitanya lived in Jagannath Puri, in the last phase of his appearance in this world, he would go to the temple with his followers and see the deity. Sometimes he would just stand behind the Garuda Stamba, the column in which Lord Garuda, the Lord's carrier, sits on. And Lord Chaitanya would just cry a river of tears out of separation from Krishna. He's showing by his example, this is what you do. You go and feast your eyes upon the form of the Lord. This is a necessary devotional practice. Looking at Krishna is Nitya Utsava, an eternal festival for the eyes. You want your eyes to enjoy. You want to see pleasing things. There's nothing more pleasing to see than the deity form of the Lord. It's meditation. So a devotee always has, as part of his spiritual practice, feasting the eyes on the Nitya Utsava, the eternal festival, the deity form of the Lord. And these verses in this chapter give you pointers how to meditate on Krishna's body. Think of the chest where Mahalakshmi, the goddess of fortune, resides. That's where all the inconceivable energies of the Lord are stored, because Mahalakshmi means energy. And think of the Lord's neck. As stated here, the yogi should then imprint on his mind the neck of the Personality of Godhead. A And you haven't seen this beauty in this world. Have you seen a neck so beautiful that you should just stare at someone's neck and imprint it on your mind? You know, look at the necks around you. Do you see? You should imprint the neck on your mind. You've not seen such. But there are such necks. Lord Chaitanya, when he would go to the Jagannath Puri temple, he would meditate on the neck of the Jagannath deity. You should try all these things. Krishna in his original form, Shyamasundar, he has the pearl necklaces around his neck, which are like white ducks, we described yesterday. And like white ducks flying in the sky, the Lord's body is like the rain clouds colored dark blue. And the peacock feather on his head is like a rainbow. And the yellow dhoti is like lightning flashing in the sky. You're meant to fix your mind on these specific details. And gradually, your attachment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead will increase. During the month of Kartika, you sing the Dhammadharashtra prayers, Muhuswasa Kampa, Chire Kanka Kanta, Stintagrivam Dhammadharam Bhakti Bhata. The Lord, around his neck, has lines, like a conch shell has lines. And then there's also the pearl necklaces. And he was making those pearl necklaces around his neck shake because he was putting on a big demonstration of fear of Bhagavad Gita Shodhan. So again and again, the pearl necklace would shake because Bhagavad Gita was determined, Bhagavad Gita Shodhan is not going to punish me. I'm going to put on such a display of fear that she'll put down her stick. So he did that. Who is this Lord? Dhammadhar Bhakti Padam. He's bound, not exactly by Mother Yasoda's rope, but by her bhakti, by her devotion. What about the ornaments that decorate the Lord's body? We read here, the neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaustubha gem, which hangs on his chest. This is a point that is also mentioned by Uddhava in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Param param bhushana bhushana gham. The Lord is the ornament of his ornaments. We've discussed this before. How the Lord wears ornaments, not so that the ornaments help him to look good. No, the Lord wears ornaments and his body makes the ornaments look good. Those of you who wear ornaments, you know, you put on ornaments, family ladies, yes, and who has her bangles, so, and earrings. But she doesn't put, you don't put your jewelry on thinking, I'm going to make the jewelry look good. You put the jewelry on thinking, this will make me look better. Yes, all the ladies who wear jewelry like that. And any men with earrings here? It's done to improve your looks. Yes, I mean, the ladies put on theirs to improve their looks, the men also. But Krishna puts on jewelry to improve the looks of the jewelry. This is a very revolutionary concept and helps you to understand the eternal beauty of the Supreme Personality of God. Param param bhushana bhushana. He's the ornament of the ornaments. The Lord's ornaments, let's take his shark-shaped earrings that swing on his ears. They actually get benefit when they swing on the ears of the Lord. They touch his cheeks. They're actually kissing his cheeks. Those cheeks are actually just kissed by Mother Yashoda or Krishna's dearest counselor. But his shark-shaped earrings, when they swing to and fro, they sometimes get to kiss his cheeks. And they get benefit in that way. So, these ornaments that caress the body of the Lord are enhanced in their beauty by the body of the Lord. And then, enhancing that beauty of the ornaments in relation to the Lord's body is the threefold standing posture of the Lord, Tribhunga. That is happiness in of itself. Therefore, the Lord is also known as Tribhungananda. He's the bliss of standing in the threefold posture. So first you have the beauty of the Lord's form, making the ornaments, the jewels, more beautiful. Above all that, you have the beauty of the threefold standing form. But there's something above that also. Above that is the beauty of the eyes of the Lord, which dance back and forth and are like arrows. What are those arrows of the Lord's eyes meant for? They're meant for piercing the mind of his girlfriends. You can just think about that. The Lord's eyes moving back and forth, shooting like arrows to pierce the minds of the gopis. And when those arrows pierce the mind of the Lord's dearest devotees, their minds become agitated, their minds spin. So this way life in Vrindavan goes on. Arrows are fired, minds spin eternally. You also sing every morning, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobha Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Jami. Krishna is the real Kandarpa, the real Cupid. Cupid has five arrows: form, smell, sound, taste, and touch. But Krishna is actually the most magnificent wielder of these five arrows. Krishna is the true Cupid, and that you see in Vrindavan. Another way of visualizing the beauty of the Lord, given by Lord Chaitanya, Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that the body of the Lord is like an ocean of beauty. Above the ocean is the moon. You've ever seen the moon shining over the ocean? So first there's Krishna's body, the ocean of beauty, and then rising above the ocean, like the moon, is his face. But more beautiful than even his face is his smile. His smile is like the moonbeams emanating from the moon. So you can just see this picture, the ocean of the beauty of the Lord's form. Then the moon shining above the ocean, that's his face. And then, even more beautiful than the moon, are the moonbeams coming from the moon. That is the smile of the Lord. So this way, you'll never think the Lord is impersonal. Why would you think the Lord is impersonal? Out of envy. My beauty is not like that. Therefore, such descriptions of the beauty of Krishna have to be mythological. This is envy. Since I'm not like that, and I don't know anybody who's like that, therefore it can't be. So, that is why Lord Chaitanya says impersonal is the greatest offenders. Because, particularly, Mayavadis, you see, some impersonalists, they're not anti-Krishna, they're just not aware of the personal glories of the Lord. Just like the four Kumaras. They were impersonalists, but when they smelled the fragrance of the tulsi flowers on the lotus feet of the Lord, immediately they became personalists. Shukadeva Goswami also said he was perfectly situated in impersonal realization. And then he heard his father, Vyasadeva, narrate Srimad Bhagavatam. And immediately, Shukadeva Goswami became immersed in the personal glories of the Lord. When my bodies are direct offenders, the absolute truth has no form, no personality, no activities, no lila. This is complete envy. How will your senses be satisfied unless they're in contact with the form of the Lord? So, every day you should give yourself a chance to feast your eyes upon Krishna's form and get the same result as looking at the Lord in Vaikuntha. In this way, you'll become immunized, because the natural tendency of the eyes is to want to see beautiful forms. Your eyes like to run over the forms of others, and in this way derive satisfaction. So you can, every day, let your eyes run over the form of the deity, and you'll feel satisfied. Your mind will feel pleasure. Your mind will feel peaceful. You should do this as a daily practice. Don't be ashamed. You can just come to the temple and stare at the deities. If you do that to someone, ordinary person, it's kind of embarrassing. Can you imagine just, you know, picking out a person and staring at the person all day? It's not very enlightening. And the person would feel a bit embarrassed. But you can come to the temple and just stare at Sisi Nitaiko Chandra. Just stare. Run your eyes over their form. Focus on the feet, focus on the chest, the neck, the face. Stare to your heart's content. You should try it as a daily practice. See what happens. See the changes that will happen in your life just by coming and staring at Krishna. And then, if you're more keen, you can learn verses of appropriate prayers and recite them to the Lord when you come to the temple. It's like you're speaking of the four kumaras, how their consciousness changed just by smelling the fragrance of the Lord's feet decorated with tulsi leaves. They said, Tasyadavindanaya nasya padadavinda. So many verses you can learn and offer to the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when you offer the prayers made by His super devotees. This is bhakti. Very practical. You have eyes? Come see the Lord. Stare at Krishna. Nitya Utsava, the eternal festival. We also find here that the Lord is known as Akila Loka Namaskritasya, adored by the entire universe. Who do we know who's like that? Why is Krishna adored by the entire universe? Because He is unlimitedly full of all opulence. You don't know anybody who has unlimited opulence in every category. But Krishna shows you in His pastimes, this is what I am. You'll find no end to my opulences. That's the conclusion of Lord Brahma. He said, people may say they know everything about Krishna. Let them talk. They can go on talking like that, but I know better. I know that the opulences of the Lord are far beyond my senses. That's the position of Lord Brahma, Adi Kavi, the original scholar of the universe. What is a very appropriate way for understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not simply creation, maintenance, and annihilation. We always find balance. Better is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he possesses all the potencies to fulfill his own desires. That ability is known as Swaraja Lakshmi. Krishna has unlimited desires, and he has the unlimited ability to fulfill all of his unlimited desires. That is God. So just think about yourself. You don't have unlimited desires, although it feels like it. You have a small set of desires, but you don't even have the ability to fulfill that small set of desires, and therefore there's always frustration. But Krishna has unlimited desires and the unlimited ability to satisfy every one of his unlimited desires. That is God. And the devotee loves to hear about Krishna fulfilling his own desires. When the Lord comes to this world, his form is presented by the internal potency. Actually, Krishna does not enter the material world. Simply, by the arrangement of his yoga maya, his form becomes visible. The topmost form of Krishna is as a young boy, a young teenager. Kishore Shekhar. The Lord is the best of all teenagers. Remember the promise of the teenage years? When you first became a teenager, there was so much promise. A body that can do things. You're just entering the world of romantic attraction. Remember what your first teenage crush was like? Crush? Yeah. It was like you got hit with some exotic delight never before experienced. Your first crush. Yeah, remember? Unforgettable. The promise, the hope. And especially, you know, the adults don't understand. There you are with your youthful teenage form, youthful desires, fresh romance before you get burned out. But Krishna has that eternally without one problem. Therefore, the supreme form of the Lord is as teenager. He's the best of the teenagers, Kishore Shekhar. He never ages beyond a young man, because that's the best way to have pleasure, always being a young man. His supreme form carries a flute. The flute is very necessary for mesmerizing the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis. Lord Chaitanya describes that just like a bird makes a nest in your ear and blocks out everything else, similarly, Krishna's flute enters the ears of the gopis and they don't want to hear anything else except the sound of Krishna's flute. Krishna's flute takes over all of Vrindavan. What is our hearing of Krishna's flute? Hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. When you become attuned to hearing the holy name of the Lord, you don't want to hear anything else except Krishna's glories. Hearing the Hare Krishna mantra means hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. We should never become over familiar with the processes of Krishna consciousness. Every day we should thank Krishna for the opportunity to see his deity form, to hear his holy name, to taste his prasad, to smell the flowers that have been offered to the Lord. You know, there's one very ecstatic way you can dovetail your sense of touch in Krishna's service. The sense of touch is very prominent, and everyone wants to feel nice stimulation for the skin. the whole attraction for sex life is based on this skin disease. Your skin longs to feel stimulation. Did you know that when the pujari offers the water to the Lord, and then throws out the water on the devotees, that water sprinkling your body from the puja, that will fulfill your sense of touch. You can just feel the drops of water hitting you, and your sense of wanting to be touched and your touch will be satisfied. This is mentioned in the Shastra. So you can try that. You know, throwing the water at you. I do it. You have to know how to be full on in Krishna consciousness, you know, your senses. You have to know how to get into bhakti with your senses. Like, they can't be bhakti without senses. So yes, when the, you know, throwing out the words, feel it, drops hitting your body, and you'll be alive. This is mentioned in the Shastra. When the flower comes around, just don't mechanically sniff at it, just and your desire to smell nice things will be satisfied. Learn how to make your senses come alive in Krishna consciousness. And similarly, when you see the deity, stare. Krishna is the only person you can stare at without feeling embarrassed. The more you stare at Krishna, the better your life becomes. So get into the habit of staring at Krishna. And then you'll become purified from your tendency to stare at the temporary forms of mind. Hi. Any questions? Yes.
Should flowers offered to Krishna be fragrant?
Yes, that's stated in the Shastra.
So in case you don't have fragrant flowers, you don't offer?
That's a detail. I remember living in Skin. They have a problem getting fragrant flowers in the winter. And again, sometimes they just minimize their flower offering because what's the point of offering flowers with zero fragrance? Then you're way up at the North Pole or something. I don't know what the situation is here. Winter gets such that you have flowers of absolutely zero fragrance. Zero. I mean, zero. I think there's always a little something. But if you go up to the north in Russia, Scandinavia, you'll see so-called flowers with zero fragrance. So those, they'll bother offering up to use.
Sometimes in the beginning it can seem a little laborious and not much is going on. How can you satisfy the excitement aspect? If you want to feel excitement and feel like heaps of stuff is going on in your life, so how can you fulfill that?
Isn't it exciting to hear the Hare Krishna mantra?
It's exciting to try.
Isn't it exciting to read Srimad Bhagavatam? You have so many exciting things to do. Isn't it exciting to look at Krishna? Nitya Utsava, the eternal festival for the eyes. Festivals means excitement. Every day you can have that festival excitement just by looking at the deity form of the Lord. Or do you mean by excitement, Rajagun, mode of passion?
Yeah, like in the past, that's the usual flavor.
Like what?
Like you're saying about flooding, just go in there and immediately everything appeared to be spinning. You had full of ecstasy dances.
By that so-called excitement, you're embracing death. Overloading your senses with material stimulation, going deeper into illusion. It's artificial excitement. We need to become purified and come to at least the mode of goodness. And Krishna is beyond the mode of goodness. I always tell you about what the fourth canto of Bhagavatam says. If you sincerely perform devotional service, the super soul in the heart will let you see how devotional service is ever fresh. Ever freshness, that's the exciting thing. Beauty that doesn't fade. In the spiritual world, you can pick flowers, but they never lose their fragrance. There's no diminution. Nothing fades, nothing deteriorates. That's exciting. How can there be excitement without ever freshness? Even as a non-devotee, I used to wonder about this as we were discussing last night. How can there be real pleasure when the pleasure has an end? Because everything in the material world is ruled by time, everything deteriorates and you're frustrated. Right? Haven't you had so-called magic moments in your life in which you were just thinking, let it be like this always! Right? May this moment last! Aren't there so many songs like that? This magic moment may never end. It always ends. So, that's not excitement. Real excitement is ever fresh. Get accustomed to the ever fresh beauty of Krishna. And then you'll be genuinely excited. Vrindavan is about nothing other than excitement. Everyone's always excited about Krishna. In the morning when Krishna wakes up, the cowherd boys, they dress and they go to Krishna's house to meet him, to take him out to play, or take him out to the forest with the calves. And Mother Yashoda is dressing Krishna. And while she's dressing Krishna, Krishna's hitting the cowherd boys over the head with his flute, you know. It's exciting. What happens at night in Vrindavan? As we said yesterday, in the middle of the night, Krishna will go to the houses of the gopi girls while they're sleeping and make funny noises outside their house, letting them know time to come out and go to the forest. It's exciting. The more our senses become accustomed to Krishna consciousness, the more we'll see what real excitement is. But if we look at devotional activities with our material perception, if we become materially familiar with bhakti, then we have problems. If you want to taste that ever freshness of bhakti, then you beg the Lord. Please don't let me become familiar. Oh, I've seen the deity for years. I've chanted for years. When you feel that coming upon you, then you beg the deity, please don't let me fall into this trap. Like I had said, how many times have I read these verses? But no, every time I read these verses in the Bhagavatam, it's like newer and newer at every moment. What do you think? Do you think you're going to be able to go on reading the Bhagavatam over and over again? Don't you fear you'll get to a point of material satiation? If you feel like that, know that it's just it's the working of the material energy. And how will you prove that to yourself? When you start feeling like, I've done this before, I've tasted this before, I've read this before, just pray to Krishna. Please open up the ever freshness for me, and then you'll see what happens. And that will help you to understand you're dealing with the Nitya Utsav, the internal festival. Nevertheless, for preaching, we want happening things, because that's what people are accustomed to. So for preaching, we have festivals, we have, you know, fun things to do. It's like last night we had a lot of fun. Young people like to do with other young people, discussing interesting things, having a chill out session, and good food and camaraderie. I was watching everybody seated at the table last night. They're all having mirth and merriment and talking this and that. It's exciting, right? That's, yeah. So you, for preaching, you need things that people can relate to in order to allow them access to Krishna consciousness. You have to package things in a way that they'll become attractive, although Krishna is eternally attractive. But because devotees are compassionate, they're always thinking of different ways how people can access the eternal attraction of Krishna. But Krishna himself is completely attractive. After a while, you have to make progress beyond the Rajagun conception of excitement. That's why people, they like sex life, because it promises excitement, absorption. But they pay a heavy price for that so-called excitement and absorption. They become dried up, their intelligence becomes dull. Illicit sex life welds your mind to the body. There's no question of understanding you're not the body. You become so hypersensitive in the bodily conception of life. You become so hypersensitive to heat and cold and every little twinge in your body. That's what illicit sex does to you. It's miserable. The more you are in the bodily conception, the more miserable you become. Because this body is miserable. Who wants to become increasingly more sensitive about their body's feelings? That means increasingly more sensitive to discomfort, because the body's always uncomfortable. Have you ever noticed that? It's always uncomfortable. Think about it. When was your body truly comfortable? There's always some adjustment you had to make. That's why people take intoxication, to forget that the body's always uncomfortable. So now, you're sitting on the floor. You gotta adjust this way, you gotta adjust that way. Your legs are comfortable, then your neck's not comfortable. There's always something. Or your body's comfortable, but the temperature's not right. It's either too hot or too cold. On and on it goes. So by indulging in so-called material excitement, you become more bound to the bodily conception of life, and you suffer. If Rajagun, the mode of passion, is truly exciting, then why aren't all the people who are addicted to sex life, why don't they look, you know, so happy and lively? You ever wondered about that? Look at their faces, dried up, gray. Why don't they look exciting and look, you know, lively? And because the whole business is so dry, therefore there must be intoxication. Intoxication adds the whole atmosphere of wonder. Take away the intoxication. What can anyone do? Can you imagine Christ Church with zero intoxication available? How do people go on? They just have to face the basic realities of life. You pray to Krishna, you supply me my excitement. And one day Krishna will let you hear his flute. Anything else? Yes.
Before you say something about Lord Chaitanya, how, when he saw the deity of Lord Jagannath, he didn't say the word, he saw Krishna. But, and I read somewhere in that chapter that Neophyte just says like the play of the word that the deity. And then a more advanced devotee sees Krishna.
Yeah.
So what is it that enables you to have a proper vision of the deity or what it is?
Advancement in devotional service. You get to know Krishna better. First you take it according to Shastra. The Shastra says, I'm looking directly at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then gradually you'll get the realization. You have to learn how to love. Learning how to love means knowing what you're looking at. Become qualified to love Krishna. Don't just settle for Raja Goon, so-called love and pleasure, without any qualification. Have the patience and determination to learn to love Krishna, to learn to see Krishna. That'll be the theme of our seminar at the end of May. Seeing Krishna from neophyte to praying. How to see Krishna as a neophyte in devotional service, and how the praying, the devotees in love of God, see Krishna.
Last night we were talking about karma and how that how she seems to have she doesn't have nourishes karma because she hasn't had meat or that.
I said in that aspect she doesn't have voracious karma. Okay. I don't know about the other things that she's doing or not doing.
Okay. But I was just wondering like how it works. The parents are maybe able to look at him. And they don't really have a choice about it.
Right.
So it seems like unfair that they should get the karma for it.
There's nothing unfair in the universe. It's their karma to be born in a meat eating family. It's a reaction to what they did in the past life. There's nothing unfair. You get exactly what you deserve. Due to sinful reactions from the past, you take birth in a meat eating family. And you perform more sinful reactions. That's the ripoff of material existence. At the same time, Krishna is merciful. He's always extending to you ways to come out of life. But you're right, it is a ripoff, but it's fair. Sin brings about more sin. A sinful past life means born in sinful circumstances in this life. So the girl had some good fortune from a previous life. She took birth in a vegetarian family. That's definitely better. But at the same time, she could be, I don't know what else she does. She could be destroying her life in other ways. But what does Lord Kapila Dev say in this third canto? Aho bata sapacho tajariya. Oh, how glorious are the dog eaters. Dog eaters are the worst meat eaters. Why are some dog eaters glorious? If they take to the chanting of the holy name, they become better than a Vedic Brahmana. You know anyone who eats dogs? In Asia, they eat dogs. India also. It's considered the lowest. Lower than caterpillars. Dog eater. Of course, in the West, the dog is man's best friend. But in Vedic culture, dogs are known to be very dirty. So to eat dog meat. Yes, it's very abominable. But Lord Kapiladeva says, oh, what the Sampatagariya. How glorious are the dog eaters who take to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. They're the real Aryans. They're the real advanced persons. They're better than Brahmins. So there's complete hope for even the dog eaters in Kali Yuga. What to speak of the cow killers and cow eaters. If they take to the chanting of all the name of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much.